But what we find here with this overview, God gives an agenda to Daniel, what's going to happen, and that is really the key to understand prophecy. Without this outline, we cannot fill things in. So what we have in Revelation is additional information, but the key is here, the framework is here. And that goes together with Matthew 24, when the Lord speaks about the things that are going to happen, that the temple will be destroyed and so on. All is based on Daniel 9, because then the Lord says in Matthew 24, as Daniel the prophet. So when they see that statue in the temple, then the Lord says to the believers, you have to flee. So that is all connected with Daniel 9. And it's connected with, we saw in with Revelation 13. Now, I wanted to mention a few things about Revelation. Revelation gives us details that put everything in order. Revelation is a very important book. And so it gives additional information. It takes a lot of elements from the Old Testament, and there's a lot of quotes or references to the Old Testament, and then puts everything in order. And that is why in Revelation you have a structure, a wonderful outline, and that outline contains a lot of parentheses. And that makes it so difficult for us to understand, but we kind of run out of time to go into the details. But Revelation is a book that I really recommend to you. So you finish Daniel, and then you go to Revelation, and you find many more teachings about what's going to happen. Now, I don't know, perhaps it would be good to have a few questions about Daniel 9, and then we'll see what time is left. If there are some questions about Daniel 9, this difficult passage, then perhaps we can talk it now, yeah?
Daniel 9, you mentioned the man of sin. Is he the second?
Yeah, the man of sin is the second beast. So some call the first leader the Antichrist. Of course, he will be an Antichrist, because everything that is replacing Christ, the first leader, takes the place that belongs to the Lord as the great leader of the nations. But in that sense, he will be an Antichrist. But many believers, evangelical believers, think that the first beast is the Antichrist. And that's why they say it cannot be a Jew. But when you go to the second beast, you see it must be a Jew.
Yes.
And he is the Antichrist. He is the true Antichrist, the true counterfeit Christ. So the second beast, what we saw in Revelation 13, is the real Antichrist. He's like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. So he's a counterfeit lamb. He's a counterfeit Messiah.
And so, he's Jewish.
Yes, exactly. He must be a Jew. They would not accept someone who's not Jewish. So some people think that the first beast is the Antichrist, but then they say he cannot be a Jew. And that's right, he cannot be a Jew, because the Jews would not fall for that. But the second one will be a Jew, and he will fool them all, and he will make them worship the first beast. So
another question, the second beast, is he from the tribe of Dan, which is not mentioned going
okay.
into the millennium?
He must be from the tribe of Judah, because he's a counterfeit Messiah. The Messiah came from Judah, so the counterfeit must also come from Judah. Of course, we know that many people believe Dan is not mentioned, so the Antichrist must be from Dan. But there are 13 tribes, if you include Levi. So in the list that you have, there's always one missing. And in some cases, there are even two missing for a reason. So that, again, that would be a study in itself. It is very complex. But God has a reason for everything. God is a God of order, and he knows what he's doing. We don't always understand, but these are good questions. Other questions? So if we can just wrap it up a little bit. You had something?
The gospel is going out today.
The gospel is going out today.
Right, and so according to 2 Thessalonians 2, those who don't heed the gospel today God sends them a strong delusion so they can't believe after the rapture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And yet there is a great multitude saved through the tribulation. Where does that population come from?
Very good question. So how can God have that great multitude if those who have rejected the gospel cannot be saved anymore? So let's just recap it. God will send a strong delusion at the rapture. At the rapture, when the rapture takes place, the people will notice that. And so they will believe the lie at that moment. Somehow that will be explained away. They will not understand this is the rapture, but it will be explained away by the enemy. And so maybe some believe even the New Agers will say the world, the earth has been purified now of elements that don't belong. Christians don't belong here anyways. So now they're gone. So this is the new millennium that we have. Now we have the New Age. That is the lie, of course. And so we can imagine that Satan will introduce the lie. But God is overruling that. Satan today, he has the lie of evolution. Satan is fooling people, but God allows it because they have hardened themselves. Romans 1, you read Romans 1. God sent even a reprobate mind so that they cannot understand the truth. They reject the truth and they cannot understand it. And something similar will happen, but even worse, when God will send that delusion, that energy of error in 2 Thessalonians 2. So that means that those who have rejected the gospel, they cannot believe the gospel anymore because of that reprobate mind, because of God's judgment over them. Now, where do the believers come from? Because Revelation 7 shows us a great multitude that cannot be counted. So where do they come from? So outside the world that have been Christianized. So the world that has been Christianized has rejected the gospel, will follow the Antichrist. And so outside that immediate realm, God will have that tremendous harvest in Muslim countries, in pagan countries, from everywhere. And so God is going to have the greatest harvest in the most difficult time. That is even, that shows how great God is. Today the gospel is spread everywhere, but only a few believe. But then the gospel of the kingdom will be preached, not the gospel of grace that we have now, the gospel of the kingdom, saying, you know, you have to repent because the king is coming. You better make sure that you repent so that you're ready for him when he comes. That's the gospel that will be preached, and millions and millions will believe that, a multitude that cannot be counted. And the point of Revelation 7 is to show that this multitude will go through the great tribulation, they will survive the great tribulation, and they will enter then the kingdom living on this earth. But at the same time, many people have believed, will be persecuted, as we saw in Revelation 13, they will die, but then they will be revived, they will be brought to life at the beginning of the millennium, and they will reign from heaven. They will be resurrected by the Lord. Revelation 20 verse 4 shows that. So not only the Jewish martyrs will be raised, also the Gentile martyrs will be raised, but they will be in heaven. Now the other people that survive that great tribulation is the Jewish believers on this earth, and they receive a mark, not the mark of the beast, but the mark, the seal of the Lamb. It's a seal. So God seals them. They cannot be touched by the persecution. There will be a severe persecution. As you have in Daniel 3, and then that statue was placed there by Nebuchadnezzar, and he forced the people to worship that statue, but the friends of Daniel didn't do it. And so there will be tremendous pressure all over the world to worship the beast, to worship that image in the temple, but the true believers will not fall for that, but they will be persecuted. And among them, many will die, but among them, the 134,000 will survive that tribulation and enter the millennium on this earth. So God will have a heavenly portion. Beside the church, you will have a heavenly company. So you have a heavenly company in heaven, the Old Testament believers who will be the guests of the marriage feast of the Lamb. Then you have at the beginning of the millennium, others who joined the heavenly scene, those who survived the great tribulation among the nations and among Israel, they will be ruling from heaven with us. They will not have the same place. We are the queen. But they will be used by God as servants in the heavens, to rule from heaven. God has a plan for them too. So it is very complex, but if you think of the great lines, how God is going, that's what my point, God is going to have the greatest harvest ever in the days of the tribulation. Of all these millions and millions who will be saved, they will survive. Those who die, they will be resurrected at the beginning of the millennium. God will always have the victory. In the time that the enemy seems to have the full control, and he will have the full control up to a certain point, even then God will have the greatest victory. That shows how great God is. Is that okay for your question? No.